to Murph's Tavern. I'm massive Simpsons dork Murphy McLaughlin. Every episode of this podcast, we talk about a different episode of The Simpsons, specifically one from the first 9 seasons with a couple of fellow fans. This week, it's a Sideshow Bob episode. We're chatting about season 7's Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming. This is the one where Bob steals a nuclear bomb and threatens to blow up Springfield unless TV is cancelled. With me to talk about that episode, we have return guests Cassie Daly.
Here I am.
And Chris Heaslip.
Howdy.
Thanks for coming on the show. Memories of Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming before you rewatched it for the pod, of course. Like, what comes to mind when you think of this episode?
I honestly, when you said we were doing this episode, I went, okay, which Sideshow Bob episode is this?
The title does not give much
away. Yeah, it doesn't
away.
Give
it no, away. I was kind of dreading it, actually. I remember not liking this episode. I remember like the air show and the war stuff. I'm like, I remember this being like too, like just dramatic and like too convoluted and war-y and army stuff. And I was sort of like, was not looking forward to actually watching it. But I was pleasantly surprised.
I think even as I pressed play, I was like, oh, this is kind of a nothing episode, isn't it? Like, it's not...
It's high stakes.
Yeah.
But I never remember loving it, but it's important to remember. Even when The Simpsons is bad, it's pretty good.
That's it. It's pretty good. Yeah.
This is true.
It's very interesting. I had a similar thing where I, out of all the Sideshow Bob episodes, I remember this one because I love Sideshow Bob. And as a kid, I'd always be like, Sideshow Bob episode. But this one, I always be like, oh, yeah. And I think it's, I'm not like a big plane guy. Yeah. The whole episode is set like an air show. But like you, Chris, rewatched it. Pleasantly surprised.
Pretty good.
Yeah, a few really good jokes.
I guess it doesn't feel as Sideshow Bobby as the other Sideshow Bob episodes.
Yeah, because you go, okay, Sideshow Bob episode, okay, there'll probably be a rake bit. maybe he might sing a song. Yeah. And there was a bit where he was raking and I was like, here comes the rake the rake bit. Yeah. And he just put the rake down and walked away. I
was kind of happy with that because in the newer episodes of The Simpsons, they've kind of just made every scene with Sideshow Bob a rake scene now.
Oh, really?
And they've just really overdone.
Because they know their target audience. And it's me.
Give me the rake hands bit. On these episodes. That sounds up my alley. But yeah, he sort of whistles as well but when he's like preparing the one, but he doesn't sing either. It's like, oh, come on. But yeah, you know what a lot of it is? He's not really with Bart or Lisa until the third act.
True.
And even then, it's kind of like they stop him from blowing up the town. But then he steals Bart, goes on the plane, and then it's over.
Yeah.
A lot of the scenes with Bob, it's kind of him by himself.
Yep.
Or with Wiggum or like the army guy. So it's you're not really seeing him interacting much. Even like Krusty, he doesn't actually have any scenes with Krusty in it.
He's more angry at the TV than Krusty specifically for a lot of it as well.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
There's also no like B story or plot, second plot. Yes,
it's just Marge
hating the air show.
Yes. Marge having a headache. Marge has that. Huge big second story. Will she get over her headache? Someone give that lady a paracetamol.
Poor thing.
I did really like the gag of Homer saying they didn't have any aspirin, so I got your pack of cigarettes.
such a good gag.
There's a few bits in this episode that I'd completely forgotten about it. That's the benefit of, I guess, not having watched in a while.
Yep.
I laughed out loud at Wiggum saying, if anyone asks, I beat him to death.
Chief Wiggum, I can MVP the episode. He was fantastic this episode.
So yeah, absolutely.
Shut your word hole. Fantastic. Great. Great.
Yeah, there's also quite a few dark jokes in this episode.
Yep.
I mean, the plot itself is quite dark. Like, Bob's prepared to, like, kill himself and the town when he presses that button.
I guess they kind of get away with it because it's made clear that he didn't think it would work. He couldn't believe it would actually work. Like, they're actually doing it.
Oh,
they're actually following my demands.
Set more demands.
Yeah.
Because
that's the sort of... Because he's not as sinister this episode, I feel.
No, he's not trying to murder a child, just the entire
or a
city.
Lady.
It is funny, though, when they... did that thing of like, Sideshow Bob, who's he? What does he do? And they list all the, you know, remember him? He did all these other things. Yeah. And I was like, is that just for the audience to remember who he is? Or is that just that classic Simpsons thing of listing all the Like whenever they go, you know, remember Krusty the Clown? You remember me? Mm. Like I did these, all these things for you. It's like he framed Krusty, tried to kill Aunt Selma, rigged an election. Oh, and he also tried to murder your son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bart.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess so. Yeah. But he's, I'll always remember the left.
Yeah. It felt like for the audience. It felt like a little, okay, just in case you missed him. He's only been on like 5 episodes before, but here he is again.
Yeah, because usually the episodes are pretty standalone. Like you obviously have a lot of references to past episodes, but they don't rely on, like, they're more like gags or like callbacks. Yeah. Whereas you kind of need, for this episode, you kind of need to have a bit of an idea as to who this Sideshow Bob guy is.
Yeah. I mean, I never really understood who he was.
Yeah.
You know, like, because Sideshow Mel was there for so long, and you sort of see Sideshow Mel all the time. Yeah. I don't think I saw that first Sideshow Bob episode for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right.
I saw all the sort of subsequent ones. And it's like, who, why is he angry at Krusty?
Well, that's why Lisa's got that recap.
I know, thank God. Thank God for Lisa.
But yeah, it is confusing, because I know casual viewers often like, Sideshow Mel, Sideshow Bob, they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, because Sideshow isn't even a, I think watching it growing up, I thought, oh, Sideshow is like, must be a term for like a sidekick of a clown.
Yeah.
And never outside of The Simpsons, the only time you hear Sideshow is like at a carnival or something.
Yeah.
Sideshow. And that's not about a person. So it's.
Even the idea of the character feels very old, like an old variety show had this strange sidekick.
And Bob is like this trained actor who just fell into it and is just despises this role so much. It's like, well, why did you go for it?
Yeah.
Did you know what you were auditioning for?
I think it's confusing as well, because Sideshow Mel's basically this, apart from being evil, Sideshow Mel's the same. He's this thespian with a similar accent.
Yeah.
But he's
I'm sure the idea was really funny in the writer's room to like, oh, okay, remember that guy that hasn't spoken at all in the Krusty show? How about we make him evil and he's a psycho killer and stuff? But now he's just been that psycho killer for so long, you sort of forget that he ever was.
So he's still in the new sidekick.
Oh, yeah. Seasons. And they're all, see, it's a real shame because I used to love the Sideshow episodes. One of my favorites is Cape
Fear. Are you saying Bobisode?
If Sideshow I did, that was Bobisode? Unintentional, but let's run with that. The Sideshow Bobisodes are the best. I used to love, Cape Fear, the one with the Frasier parody with Cecil.
Yes.
Oh, one where we run to a mayor. Mm-hmm. You guys are like, why didn't you fucking pick those ones?
Rigged an election, tried to kill Aunt Selma, framed Krusty.
See? The newer ones are really bad.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, there's one where he like, it's a parody of, what's that Nicolas Cage? Face Off.
Okay.
Okay. Where he like swaps face with another prisoner. Yeah. And there's one where they bring back Cecil. So he's brother.
Yeah.
Right. But there's no reference to the previous episode he was in. Okay. And then they also reveal that Sideshow Bob has parents who, one is voiced by the dad from Frasier.
Cute. Great.
But the character is nothing like the guy from Frasier. So I was like, well, okay.
Mm.
Weird. He's just like a real like, oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And then his mum is just voiced
by the dog. The dog from Frasier.
The dog from Frasier.
She's just voiced by random, I think. And she's this upper class opera singer.
Right.
And then you find out that they're evil. And it's just a mess. Oh, and Sideshow Bob has a kid in the newer ones.
Oh, I've seen the kid.
Does he have the same hair?
Yes.
Like,
Because Sideshow Bob moved to Italy and became a mayor of a town there, and the Simpsons bump into him when they're in Italy. It's it's terrible.
No, I've seen this.
And the kid goes, Vendetta, Vendetta. Anyway.
Oh, wait. Yes. Yeah. I reckon I've seen that as well, the little Italian accent. Okay.
Like, oh, God. Anyway, so the newer Sideshow Bob's no good, but we're not here. To talk about the
news. Let's talk about season 7 Sideshow Bob.
Which, do you know what the title refers to, by the way?
Absolutely.
Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming. Right? I never knew it till I
Googled
some research for this pod. So, the plot itself, the episode itself, is a loose parody or very similar to a movie called Twilight's Last Gleaming. Twilight's Last Gleaming. And it's, I think, about a prisoner that escapes, steals a bomb. And I think it's he wants, his demands of the president to reveal stuff about Vietnam, the Vietnam War.
Oh, okay.
So it's similar. And the reason that movie is called Twilight's Last Gleaming is Twilight's Last Gleaming is a line from the Star Spangled Banner.
This
is something, I mean, I don't
know. Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's why this episode is called Sideshow Bob's Last Gleam.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But the episode itself has quite a few parodies. Like you mentioned, Chris, there's a bit of like Cold War type stuff. Maybe you didn't mention it, but
well,
let's say
I was thinking.
Well, and then there's the bit when they're in the war room under the bunker.
Oh, yeah. Strangelove.
Yeah.
Yes. So Dr. Strangelove, that's parodying, which have either of you seen that movie?
I have.
Yeah. Very funny.
I really quite liked it. Yeah. I sort of went in with very low expectations, but good watch. Next episode, we'll come back and...
Okay, we'll watch. Rewatch it.
Actually, let's just press pause. Cassie will watch it.
And then we'll come back in a couple hours. All right, we're back. Yeah. Oh, guys, great movie.
And then we just don't reference it again. But yeah, though, in the war, like, there's no real blatant references to it apart from the fact that that movie deals with a bomb. They're in a war room. This episode deals with a bomb. They're in a war room. But Professor Frink in this scene... It's blink and you miss it, but he's looks a bit different, and that's because he's modeled after Dr. Strangelove in the movie. So Frank has like got sunglasses on and he's in a wheelchair in the movie.
Is he in the war room?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon I didn't even notice him there.
Yeah, because he's drawn very different. And I think as a kid, I was like, why does Frank look like that?
Yeah.
Because they've modeled him to look like the character from,
Okay.
And also I read that apparently Krusty's reactions in that scene to where he's like, whoa, let's not blow up TV. He's... they modeled his moves on a character from Doctor Strangelove. I think it's George C. Scott, who's very... He's one of the funniest things about that movie. Yeah. And you know why that performance is so good? Mm. So the movie is played very straight, right? And they told George C. Scott was like, it's too silly, I don't want to do it. So they lied... Kubrick directed it, right?
Yeah, he
lied to George C. Scott and said it was a drama. I think a few of the actors were under that impression, right?
Yeah.
Told George C. Scott it was a drama. But then he said... So they filmed every scene and they went, let's just do a silly one. And George C. Scott just thought, oh, whatever, it's just to loosen us up and did a silly take. And Kubrick used all the silly takes.
Oh, right.
So it's just this real, like, slapsticky, like, over the top performance.
So somewhere on the cutting room floor, there is a drama version of that movie.
Yeah, right. I might be getting a few, there's maybe some real film nerds listening to this being like, you're butchering the story, but look it up. Like, it's something like that.
Yeah.
But a couple other parodies in this are the bit where Bob presses the button. And it like flashes to different people in the town, like Todd on the swing.
Yes.
I thought that was done quite well, but what's it from?
It's from the ending of a film called Failsafe. And I think similar thing, Cold War type theme where the nuclear bomb's involved. That film is a drama, I believe, and it ends with like a bomb going off.
Mm.
And it cuts to all these people, I think in New York maybe, but all these people just going about their lives and like shh, shh, shh. And then it's like credits.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be like people just randomly going about their lives while as a bomb's about to... Yeah. But that's not all that's being parodied in that sequence even.
Okay.
So that's what all the little flashes of the people mean. But when it goes to Maggie...
Yeah.
It
zooms in on the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a reference to a political campaign.
Oh, my God.
In the 60s. I believe it was the re-election of... Who's the guy that took over when JFK got shot?
LBJ.
There you go. So it was his re-election campaign. It was all about who do you want in charge if they like...
Set off a...
Yeah.
Like a, putting a bomb together, basically. Or
Yeah, or like, yeah, who do you want with access to the button?
Yeah, right.
Something like that. Yep. And I think the... And I think it was quite successful, but this ad showed a little girl in a field. You can see it on YouTube. And she's like picking like the flowers off a thing.
Yeah.
And then it just zooms in on her eye and as if to indicate like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's what that is.
In those like fleeting moments.
Yeah.
These guys, these nerds in a room somewhere being like, you know what we should do? Yeah. We should reference the ad.
Commercial. I love that commercial. Yeah.
The campaign. Did you guys see or notice... Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah.
I had to pause and be like, hang on a minute. Was that an Australian in jail with him? Like,
I was thinking, has he ever gone to jail?
Has he gone to jail?
There's no way.
Was Rupert Murdoch in jail?
I looked this up because I was like, 1995 or 96 when this episode aired, there must have been something in the news about him facing legal trouble.
Yeah. Mm.
And I saw a lot of stuff about him, like I think the phone hacking scandal was a big thing. But that was like late 90s. And there was all this stuff from like the 2000s, 2010s, 2020s, but nothing from that year. I was like, what the hell? Like what? And I did a bit of like looking around, and I think there was something in the news that went a bit under the radar where, yeah, when they wrote this episode, maybe.
Yeah.
It was like news of the day.
And I'm sure he's always been shady.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously they didn't say it was him. It was just a nondescript Australian man obsessed with media. Like, don't you dare take down my TV. I need my TV.
Could be anybody.
Yeah, what is he? I own 50% of that network or something, right? I think I read, I don't know how much this trivia is true, but like, the network was hesitant about that joke, but Murdoch himself was like, nah, it's fine, put it in. But
wow.
That's what I read.
Any press is good press, as long as they're talking about me.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, he later voices himself a few seasons later
the
when they go to
game?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was always wondering if that was him or not. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Maybe he did give the thumbs up.
Yeah, and that's he's not in jail in that episode, but he does say, like, they're in his booth, right? And he's like, this belongs to some billionaire tyrant. I'm like, oh, I'm that billionaire tyrant.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Good on him. What a great bloke.
Bit of a sense of humour.
He should have done the actual voice cameo instead of those Simpsons people
maybe
trying to do Australian accents. I went, is that an Australian accent?
So I've got the book here, The Complete Guide to Our Favourite Family, which you own, Cassie.
I do own much nicer version. Do you want mine? Or
It's fine. It's fine.
It's holding
it's
up.
Still good. It's still good.
Yeah. No pages missing.
That's pretty impressive.
There's pages that if I tug at them, they will come out.
Well, I'm not doing that.
They're not missing, right? So let's flip it open to season 7. We play a game here.
Okay.
You guess which character they've chosen for this episode.
Okay. And it's a different character each.
Yes. Yeah.
We're at season 7.
Season
I think
7.
It's Colonel Happleblap.
I was going to guess Colonel Happleblap.
Well, he is a character that only appears in this episode, so yeah, you got it.
Yes.
It's Colonel Leslie Happerblap.
Oh,
incredible
the hap
name.
I was like, what is he saying? The Hap is in inverted commas. That's
his
nickname.
His nickname
is
Hap.
And what is that?
Happerblap.
Happerblap.
Yeah. So there's apparently the background of that name is... Everything's a reference, guys.
Yeah, okay.
That's crazy. So
I was curious about this,
His name is a combination of two real-life army people, two real generals, General Leslie R. Groves and General Henry H. Hap Arnold. So they've invented the Happerblap.
Yeah, right.
But the rest of it is real. And I've seen this trivia pop up in a few things, like interviews and stuff, they were really stuck on the name.
Mm.
And they were like spending like hours just sitting around and trying
to come
up with
together.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like going delirious. And apparently this whole episode was very rewritten, which I'll get to in a sec, but they were like losing their minds. And I think they'd had a few beers as well. And they were like, we just need a name. We need a name. And George Meyer said, Colonel Leslie Hap. Happerblap. And everyone just started laughing. And then they all were like, Happerblap, Colonel Leslie Happerblap. And they're all just losing their minds and kept saying, and were like, That's his name. But yeah, they did well.
I actually had to go back to try and find what it was because I was like, it'll be written on his desk when Bart's in.
Oh, yeah.
And it just kept cutting out. The screen kept cutting out when it was written on his desk.
Oh,
so he was like,
were you watching it in the wide?
Oh, I was watching in widescreen. Oh. I forgot how to change it back. Yes,
no.
Classic. The old classic miss the bottom
mistake.
Of the screen.
Oh, no.
I forgot how to change it back and I was like, well, I'm 15 minutes in already.
Watch it again.
Well, I'll be on the pod. Murphy will spend 10 minutes talking about the name.
I'm
sure
I won't miss anything.
I wrote, Happerblap, glad, ...
So Happerblap is voiced by R. Lee Ermey. Do you guys know much about that actor?
Mm-mm. Nothing.
So he's known for pretty much just playing army people.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
His most famous role is Full Metal Jacket.
Okay. So he was the drill sergeant.
Yeah, in the first, what is it? Half hour of that film.
Yeah.
Where
what does he look like? Can I look him up? Does he?
Yeah, go for it.
What's his name?
I doubt you'd recognize him, but like.
But like, what,
almost every
like
army
in my
sergeant
brain he looks like that.
In
what
film
is,
or
what
TV?
Does he say his name was?
R. Lee Ermey. So the
that's the first thing. As soon as I came, I went R. Lee. Oh. Okay, no, he doesn't look like Colonel Happerblap. But
is he? I'd be curious if he's still alive. I think
no,
he's
probably not.
Died 2018. R.I.P. R. Lee.
There's another Kubrick reference, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like another, yeah.
And
Full Metal Jacket.
Because at the end he says to Sideshow Bob, he says, "What is your major malfunction, Sideshow Bob?" And what is your major malfunction is from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Look at this. Look at this.
This episode is just
nothing's original.
Yeah. But yeah, he's known that he's kind of typecast. Mm. I think he actually was in the army.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
And I think, you know, in Toy Story, he voices Sarge, the little army man.
Oh, man. This is amazing. Yeah.
Did you notice the Sideshow Bob's number on his on his prisoner outfit?
You want to let Chris know?
Can I guess what it was?
Yeah.
Is it 24601?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you... Okay.
It's the other number that's around a lot. It's A113.
Is it the Pixar thing?
Yeah.
The what?
So all the animators went to the same animator school in California, and that was like the classroom.
Yeah, and it's Brad Bird in particular uses that in his films. And Brad Bird used to work on The Simpsons. The first two Sideshow Bob episodes were him. So Brad Bird.
There you go.
And they've just kept using the same.
And so that number's on like the license plates in Toy Story.
Yeah.
All of that. So yeah, when I saw it, I was like, I think that's the same number.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
It's pretty cool. Cute. I've got a section here in the book called The Stuff You May Have Missed.
Okay.
Now, sometimes they're not great. But let's go through it. Let's see how it goes. Literally what I just said 10 minutes ago. Frink appears in the underground war room with a different hairstyle, wearing dark glasses, sitting in what appears to be a wheelchair. But here's the frustrating thing about this
book.
It
doesn't explain why.
It doesn't explain that that's a parody of Doctor Strange.
Like, oh, he looks different. Yeah. Huh, did you notice that?
The representatives of TV are Kent Brockman, Krusty, Bumblebee Man, a Doctor Who lookalike, and an Urkel lookalike.
Yep.
What I don't think is really made clear in this episode is have they cancelled TV just in Springfield or completely? Because it's just Mayor Quimby and like Springfield people making this decision. But then you've got like Urkel and Doctor Who.
Maybe they're the Springfield versions of them.
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, like
that
how
at
Big
all.
Bane is like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Springfield has versions of every maybe he's like Urkel and Dr. Y.
He did look really weird. Steve Urkel did look very strange.
Yeah. And was Family Matters still on in 1995? I guess so.
I think so. I think it was actually. I think it was right when it was wrapping up, and it would have been Urkel mania, right? Yeah. And it would have been really when it was like every episode is like Urkel shrinks himself or Urkel invents a love potion.
When was the I Didn't Do It episode? I know you did that recently. Was it in the same season?
No, a couple seasons earlier. So this episode aired 26th of November 1995.
Okay.
Which I actually think is pretty close to the date of the air show in the newspaper, by the way. I'd be interested to know if that
matched
up. And I Didn't Do It was season 5, so 93.
Just because I Didn't Do It feels like a very, did I do that?
Yeah, true. 100%. Yeah, yeah.
100%. Yeah, I think it went on longer than you might suspect.
We asked a
question about it in trivia not too long ago, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Because it's a fascinating story, the whole Urkel thing. Because he was the side character. He was the neighbor who was in like every second or third episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's took off. Now he's the protagonist. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen.
No. Well, actually, no. These days, the TV show The Simpsons, don't know if you heard of it, the main character is Wendell the Sick Kid.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, good on Wendell. He really stuck it out.
But what else we got in the stuff you may have missed? Magazines in the Air Force Base War Room. Granny Fanny.
I wrote those down, yep.
Cheek Week. You got the other one there, Cassie?
American Breast Enthusiast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have a feeling that was cut.
Where's this going?
Those are all references to this. Yeah. No. I reckon when they showed this episode, Channel 10, 6 o'clock, that bit was cut.
Oh, you reckon?
I have a feeling.
They wouldn't have put Granny Fanny.
Well, yeah, because in Australia, for any overseas listeners, Fanny means the
your
vagina.
Your front bottom, not your back bottom.
Yeah.
Which, in the US, it's just your bum. So there's quite a few episodes of sitcoms I remember in the 90s being like, they just said Fanny. That's a bit. Krusty comes in and goes, "Whoa, this is my kind of meeting." Yep. I think they kept that bit in, but not the like close-ups of when the sergeant goes or when the colonel says, "Oh, we could find his porno." I feel like that was cut. But Krusty coming in and seeing the magazines wasn't.
Yeah.
So it's just not explained why there's porno on there.
That would make a lot of sense.
Well, this episode was apparently really like 90% rewritten. Like they often do rewrite the episodes. Like someone does a script and then they just fine tune it. But that's generally to get it as good as can be, right? Mm-hmm. Really make it top notch. But I think this episode was written by a guy called Spike Ferensten, and he was an outside writer. Right. So I think a few episodes a season, they get someone outside of the usual writer's gang to write an episode. And Spike written a fair few episodes of Seinfeld.
Okay, I do know this guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a soup Nazi, I think, was him, right?
Yep.
And he must just not have got the right
the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Simpsons tone.
And so, yeah, they had to, like, redo the whole thing.
Right. That is one of the things... It always surprises me when I go back to old episodes. It's just how quick it is. Like, it's just so... Mm-hmm. They are just firing off jokes. As soon as the joke's over, they're cutting to the next thing. And
The Rupert Murdoch thing. I was like, hang on a minute. I'm going to go back to that. And like, rewind. Yeah, and yeah. That was what I just saw.
Well, there's one joke where I was like, holy shit, I do not remember that. And I actually had to rewind it, make sure I heard it right. Speaking of dark jokes, Lisa... saying,
oh, okay, so was this even a joke?
When they're all talking about why they want to go to the air show, Lisa says, I want to meet the first
female air bomber who destroyed 70 mosques in some country.
Oh, well, I didn't
And her name's also named Lisa.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? That seems so out of character.
I was like, hold on, is that a joke? Like, is the joke that it's like she's done this terrible thing because we're going to an air show and all these people have done terrible things? And her name's Lisa.
I think the gag is, it's twofold. It's one that, it is so dark. Yeah. And then she's like, and her name's Lisa, right? But also the fact that she's very keen to meet like the first female to do something. And she's ignoring the fact that it's something very horrible.
Yeah, right.
So all she cares about is like, oh, it's the first female to do this. Which is actually pretty good satire.
Yeah.
But it just seems so jarring to
come
from
Lisa. Maybe you'd expect Lisa to want to like see something about Amelia Earhart or something.
Yeah,
and then she goes... completely the other way.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I buy that Lisa wants to go to the air show because, you know, Homer and Bart are in it for the loud noises and stuff. And she's probably interested from a historical perspective or like a scientific perspective. But I was quite shocked by that gag.
Yep.
I liked, did somebody say box kite?
Oh, what a joke. What a joke.
They were originally created to dry wet string.
Yep.
And then, like, they're gone. And this is a fleeting moment of box kites.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of jokes we missed, I never appreciated the minimum security prison that Bob was in. And the gate's just open. Yeah, it's just open. Yeah. It's a little bit. But I totally missed.
So. Yeah.
And the guy that eats people's faces off, and he's like, where is it? And he's like, I'm here. Like, he's just a friendly guy. Oh, on the bus you go.
Yeah. I also like when they're watching Sideshow Mel and that leads to Homer asking whatever happened to Sideshow Bob. Homer's like, Sideshow Mel thinks he's so big.
Terrible things happening to him.
And Homer's like, so this guy.
This guy.
Have either of you ever been to an air show before?
No.
I think I have. I think there's photos of me with my fingers in my ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mum didn't bake earplugs?
No. Yeah, just put
like all parents do these days.
Oh, they do these days. Yeah. Because it would have been in WA. But I feel like it wasn't there. You're from Geelong.
Yeah, there's a Geelong air show.
And Avalon and
every
stuff.
Every year.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine helps organise it. He does a lot of the backing and moving and the forklifting. And
I've never had any. My family, we had never any interest to go. I never had any interest to go. All my classmates would be like, are you going to the air show this weekend? And I'd be like, nah.
You guys could walk there. Just go.
It is funny how like 30 years ago, these Alabama country fried rubes go to an air show. And still, 30 years later, people still going to the air show. Still loving
still
it.
Going.
Have you ever been? Or you just heard?
I've been to a aviation museum, but never a proper air show before.
Yeah, right.
No.
I think maybe, you know, that's why we were saying none of us really cared for that episode.
Yeah.
It's like maybe people that have been to an air show were like, this episode, it has nailed air shows.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know.
Not plain really.
To me, no. I don't really.
No.
Yeah. Especially those fast ones. No, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
When they go straight up and then they pass out and no.
Yeah. When they come back down to hover just in front of the screen to watch Sideshow Bob. Always hits me. You know, some of those like just beautiful jokes that there's no words.
I also love the rock me like a hurricane.
Red,
fantastic. White, blue. So American.
Yeah, Sideshow Bob has some really good... Like, he's just... It's so well written.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, that's what I just admire watching this. It's like... Like, you can just tell, like, care has been put into the dialogue that's been written for Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, 100%.
And... but he's also such a good slapstick character. Mm. So I think that's why he works so well. He's such a smart character, but also he's doing like stuff like hiding in the bin and opening the door with his big foot and
his hair getting caught in the door.
Exactly.
Yeah. Does Kelsey Grammer still voice him?
Yep.
Even now?
Yeah. I think that's also like the secret sauce. The voice is just incredible. Mm. He's such a good voice actor.
Totally. Yeah absolutely. Yeah. It's just Sacha Bob is just all winning, like well written, well voiced, like well animated. It's just like, oh yeah.
Was there anything else we missed in the things we might have missed, or did we see them all?
The giant television screen at the air show is called Tyrannovision.
Oh, yeah. What? I wondered if that was anything? So it was just TV.
Is it tyrant?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or just another way of saying jumbo vision, like.
Yeah, I think.
Like, because in America they're called Jumbotron.
Titantron in wrestling.
Mega screen. So they're just Tyranno is big.
What's Tyrannosaurus? Well, like,
I thought it was like a tyrant. He's being a tyrant up on screen or like this, you know.
I just thought it was just another way of saying big.
Tyrannical.
My vision.
Tyranno. It's Latin.
Oh, it's Latin.
And it means singular of Tyrannus. Okay, and Tyrannus from ancient absolute ruler. Right, okay, so it doesn't really mean big. Tyrant. It means, I'd never put two and two that Tyrannosaurus was the same as tyrant. Like they're both from the same etymology.
Neither did I.
So I'm picturing, the reason I think they called it a Tyrannosaurus is because it's so big.
Yeah.
But maybe they're saying, no, he's the biggest tyrant of them all.
Yeah, like ruler of the dinosaurs.
He's the ruler of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So actually, where I'm thinking Tyranno is big, no, that's never been the case.
No.
Interesting. Oh, wow, this deep dive.
Man, I know.
We are learning.
My favorite dinosaur podcast, this one. This is really
what
beautiful.
Is your favorite dinosaur? I feel like we've had this discussion before.
My favorite dinosaur. Oh, God. We did it on my
That's why I've heard, because you did it on your podcast.
I think I decided on an Angliosaurus, which is the small spiky guy with like a little, like a hard spiky tail that he flings around and hits people with.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Answer me this. Is it true that there's a dinosaur that was just made up? Is it like the Brontosaurus? Or there's like a...
That one exists.
No, there's a Diplodocus? There's a dinosaur that is like... You was one of the main dinosaurs when you're a kid, like when you're learning about it. And then it's the thing of like, oh no, that was just made up to sell toys or something. Like,
I don't know. I work in a museum, I should know this.
No.
Does it exist?
I don't know.
Okay. there's a Quantosaurus.
Like Qantas?
Yeah. Named after Qantas because they helped. What? Qantas helped. Yeah, literally. Qantasaurus because Qantas helped fly the fossils like across Australia, across the country.
Oh, wow.
And they named it after Qantas.
Did you learn this like, working at the museum?
Yes, I did. Melbourne Museum, ladies and gentlemen, come on down.
Oh, save your plugs.
Learn a thing. Sorry.
I was the dino that never was. Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus doesn't exist?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at like the previews.
Put
on Google.
Put that in the museum, Chris.
I thought it was the third Bronte sister.
Emily Brontosaurus.
But there you go. Apparently, Brontosaurus is not a real thing.
There's a play in that, maybe, I think. Write that down. Emily Brontosaurus.
Okay. All right. Any other like moments from this episode that stood out for you guys?
He was raking condom wrappers.
That's where, you know, he rocks off at the air show.
No, but there is. Are they at their prison? Or
no,
are they
they're
taken to the... Okay.
Yeah, they've driven them to the air show like the day before
to clean it up. For the air show.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
They're not cleaning up the gardens of the prison.
No.
For the air show. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that as well. Like that might have been cut as well from Channel 10. Yeah. They were saying condom.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably.
Because there's also an episode of Simpsons where Grandpa finds a condom wrapper and goes, "Latex condos. I'd like to live in one of them." And I don't think that was ever shown on Channel 10.
Yeah.
That was always cut. Yeah.
I was surprised how many jokes I'd missed as a kid.
Mm.
The minimum security prison one, but also so much of Papplblap's introduction.
Yes.
I wrote it down. To fly, the dream of man and flightless bird alike. Just impeccable. And the pride of the USA, these British-made Harrier jets.
Oh, it's so smart. And again, it's just like you were saying, the gags are so quick.
Yeah.
It just goes over your head. Even like the whole Sacha Bob's plan, as a kid watching that, I was like, well, these adults are saying big words. I don't really understand. Yeah. But now rewatching, I'm like, oh, that's quite clever. Like he's getting him to say stuff
So that he can sound like him.
Yeah.
And then did he say things that he actually didn't say?
It was sort of like he combined them all.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Like he said, like,
the thing about
the snot party. Still doesn't really make sense.
I like the Curdle's whole thing of like doing, like, having his little sayings. Like he said, like Garfield loves lasagna. Yeah, and they're just staring like, oh, my wife thought that one was gangbusters.
Gangbusters.
running jokes really by expecting. Your wife before you go to your
school.
But with jokes, some jokes I understood today and some I still never really understood, even watching it now. Do you guys know who Vanessa Redgrave is?
So I don't really know, but from what I could gather, she is an actor who's really like a well-regarded actress in the
maybe the 50s.
I did do some Googling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Nominated for like Tonys and Oscars and Emmys and all these different things. A lot of Shakespearean stuff.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, Sacha Baron was really, you know, sad that she was now doing these crude, broad comedies.
Yes.
But I also found out that she is Liam Neeson's mother-in-law.
What?
I know.
Oh,
I
know.
It's everyone knows everyone. It's an incestuous little thing.
Yeah, they were married to each other.
So Liam Neeson's wife is her daughter.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But like, was there no one more known that he could have gone with? That,
well, maybe
like,
she was well known to adults in the
90s. But I think that's very, I appreciate that they're not dumbing it down.
I suppose
like, it is like, that is someone that Sacha Baron would.
Respects.
Like, and that's, I think, what pisses me off about the more recent Sacha Baron episodes from what I've seen. Like, there's an episode where Sacha Baron, he's like kidnapped Bart again, and he's like, I'm going to get my revenge like Snape did, and like blah, blah. And he quotes Harry Potter. I'm like, fuck off. Like, Sacha Baron wouldn't be referencing Harry Potter.
No, yeah.
It just seems like a writer who doesn't have any of the cultural repertoire as Sacha Baron does.
Yeah.
So there's like, oh, what's something like, what's a book? Harry Potter. Okay, let's make. Like, it's just like, oh, come on. Like,
it feels like Family Guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In full respect to the Family Guy listeners, you know, but it's not the same.
They're listening to my other podcast, Murph's.
Thanks for not inviting us on that one.
Murph's. Tavern. They still have a tavern on.
Drunken Clam? Is that the bar?
That's it, yeah.
Murph's Clam.
Yeah.
Murph's Clam.
Come on down to Murph's Clam.
A couple of other jokes I really liked. It was Lisa's message on the blimp.
Yes. Also using emojis.
Yeah.
In 1995. Good old for you, Lisa.
It was going way too long. The loudest I laughed, and I remember laughing to it as a kid as well, was Bart about to jump off the aeroplane with Sideshow Bob to Homer, and I was like, come on, boy, jump! Throws the bag.
And the bag goes under the car.
It goes under the car, hits the bonnet, under the car, explodes into a fiery plant. Okay, now you, boy. Oh,
that was just amazing.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm always amazed in The Simpsons how well the writing works with the animation.
Like,
it's a real beautiful thing that really could, there could be a missing communication there, but it never is. They just understand each other, what they're going for, so well.
It is amazing how well it comes together, because from what I can gather, the writer's room is kind of quite separate to the animation studio. So they write it, send it to the animators. You know, I know some shows they work, like a lot of maybe kid shows like SpongeBob and stuff, I think it's all the same group. The animators are also the writers. But this was directed, I think I read that the director of this episode, Dominic Polcino, first time directing an episode of The Simpsons.
Interesting.
So yeah, pretty. I feel like they really were like, threw him in the deep end with an episode that's got none of the regular locations, got all these crazy planes and stuff. It's like, new kid can do it.
I feel like I, maybe it's to do with the aspect I was watching it in, but I was like, oh, it's not as high definition as it usually is, I feel.
Oh.
I don't know. I know it's season 7. I know.
We'll blame Dominic Polcino.
But I just felt like I could see the lines on Sideshow Bob's face, and they weren't like a full line. It looked like he used crayon. And,
it was his first day. Okay, go easy on Dominic.
Okay,
come on.
Sorry, Dominic. Yeah. I'll retract my statement. Yeah, I just had this moment like going, oh, I should adjust the settings somehow, but didn't know how to do it. And I was like, it's a 30-minute episode.
Well, watching it back on my laptop now, I'm always shocked how high definition it is. It's like, this should be a little blurrier, a little further away from me. This is not how I'm used to watching The Simpsons. Yeah.
This is why I don't watch season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
Okay.
Because it's too low definition.
Oh.
Because they had a very low budget to begin with.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
RuPaul fans will understand. They talk about the season 1 filter like it looks like the screen's covered in Vaseline.
Okay, all right.
I can't watch it.
That's why I can't watch it. I thought that was every season. that has that like sort of Vaseline look.
Sheen to it.
Yeah, like, it does, everything's blurry.
Particularly bad.
You just haven't been wearing your glasses, Chris.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Yeah,
that is true as well. Damn.
For the listeners, Chris wears glasses.
That's, yeah, that is true.
They get that.
That is true.
They get it. They get the joke.
Anything else I think I've got here? Oh, you would have loved this, Chris, because I think he's your favorite character. Milhouse in the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pressing the button.
Pressing all the buttons, out. Getting ejected. Where did he go?
I forgot that you'd see him in the background just go through that food truck.
Oh, you didn't see where he landed. I was like, did he land somewhere?
Maybe.
Where's he land?
We've got to go back and watch it.
I know.
Yeah,
maybe it happened off screen for me.
Yeah.
Maybe me too then.
Yeah, because the cutaway of Milhouse in the play. Mm. Going like, take this, Mom, take this, Dad. And then he gets shot out. Yeah. And then the next scene is Bob about to steal the bomb. And you see in the background Milhouse fly into a food van.
I've never noticed that.
Oh, never noticed it. Wow. Put that in the book. Things you might have missed.
Milhouse is landing.
Yeah.
I found it quite interesting as well, the development of the squeaky-voiced geek.
Yeah.
He's now in the army.
Yeah.
He's in the army. We've got war tomorrow.
Yeah. And he's also going up in the world. Stamp your hand for re-entry. I thought that was great.
I love that one too.
Yeah, true. Maybe in the episodes now, he's taken over the colonel's role. Squeaky voice teen.
You may see.
I'll tell you up like a Kleenex and a snap right.
Hopefully he's past puberty now. His voice is deepened. He's got a real deep voice. I feel like there's been a few episodes that we've done where they've done that thing where they've panned down to go underground. And we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
I paused to see what they started.
Yeah, what did you say?
Emergency rations.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit boring.
But there was a bunch of like little moles.
Yeah, the mole people.
Yeah, right.
The animal moles.
Yeah, but they start as moles and then turn into mole people when the further they get down.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I feel like that's a gag they did a lot back in the old episodes where like they'd pan from the first story of the school or the house and you'd see what was in there.
Yeah.
And
so they went underground, right underground to the bunker.
Yeah. I know in the one where they go to Australia, they pan down the whole globe.
Yeah, right.
And there's like a little god pressing all these buttons and he's like,
so busy.
Really quickly, this might be the next episode that's happened since the big news of another death in the Simpsons family. Oh. Have you spoken about this on the pod yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't recorded one since this happened.
It's devastating.
Who was it? Did I miss it?
There's a death, a permanent death.
Oh, actually, a character died.
Yeah. Larry the Barfly.
Oh, I did. We were discussing this yesterday.
Pure freaking clickbait. I'll tell you what.
You
know sick of seeing it in my newsfeed.
I cried. Someone tell Murph, quick.
This is the real crime, right? Like, I like the idea of like, oh yeah, after 30 years, 40 years, whatever, of this guy, you always see in the background, they do an episode about him dying. No reference to Sam. His buddy.
Yeah. So none?
None. I haven't, from what I've heard, I've watched clips from it, haven't watched the whole episode, but so Larry's always seen with this guy Sam.
Yeah.
They don't even reference him in this episode all about Larry. So it's like, if you got to go the whole hog.
Yeah. Let Sam do the eulogy.
Yeah. Like if you do an episode all about Larry, that's hilarious. That's great.
Yep.
Fucking throw in Sam. Explain where Sam is. Like, who? Anyway.
I think that's a great point. Rip to the goat.
We better wrap it up, but yes, thank you. The fans would have been unhappy if we
hadn't
didn't
mentioned
mention
it. R.I.P.
that.
Larry.
Yes, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, rip to the fly.
This episode dedicated to
hell yeah
to Larry. Out of 10, what are we giving Such a Blast Gleaming?
Do we do halves here?
You can do halves. You can do 0.25s. You can do 0.348.
I'm giving it a 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not out of 10. Yeah, yeah, I said it. I normally rate them quite high, and
I think the clip show's like a 6.
That was I don't think any clip shows would use any clips from this.
Oh god,
this episode.
Look, I'm gonna go 7.25.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a 7.
Okay. Nice.
Anything to plug, Cassie?
Nothing to plug.
Okay.
Go see Chris at the museum.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got to do 2 plugs now, Chris.
I actually got a few plugs.
Cassie took yours. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Firstly, check out your local air show. You know, they're struggling and they need your attendance. Buffy the Vampire Australia.
Podcast to do.
Look, we're happening. It's on a break. It comes and goes. It's waves.
It's a nice surprise to people when the episode.
Yeah,
ends.
Exactly right. We're going through Buffy. I think we're on season 4 now. Almost halfway through season 4.
Cool.
Go check it out. I've never seen an episode of Buffy, so I'm sort of seeing that for the first time. It's quite interesting.
Nice.
And yeah, come see me in the museum, I guess. Don't ask me, please. That'd be weird. Yeah.
When this episode drops, you're going to come into work the next day. There's going to be a lot. Yeah. And my stuff, murphymclachlan.com. Feel free to shoot me a message through the website as well. Any feedback on the pod. Shout out to Steve, who shot a nice message through the other
day. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, all my stuff's on there. And rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or tell a friend. Thanks so much, Cassie.
Hey, no worries.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.
And as we always say here, I'm Murph Stavin.
Bye. Say hi to your mum for me.